It's impossible to differentiate the American system of governance from the Israeli system of governance, the Knesset to the United States Congress or to the White House versus the Prime Minister, or even the CIA versus the Mossad, because they are the same group of people. And these governance entities, these systems of government, they're all fallacy, they're all fake. And the United States military, if you're thinking to yourself, how could they be so barbaric where they're just blowing up hundreds of children at school? Seems like IDF tactics. They are one and the same. And we have known since October 7th, the tribe that we're dealing with, after finally responding, they responded by firebombing their own communities. They responded by targeting their own people, killing them, targeting their own military installations, and laying waste to everything. And nobody has an excuse. Everybody has seen this in 4K on every video hosting and social media platform known to man since October 7th. You can see the tribe that we're dealing with, what they're capable of, as they have just rampaged across Gaza, laying waste to everything, entire rows of housing, men, women, children, nothing is off limits, hospitals, schools, churches, libraries, blow it all up. It's now been reduced to rubble and bent steel. Below the rubble and bent steel are the bones of dead children that Trump wants to build his all-inclusive Gaza resort at. That's the plan. The same plan is true for Iran. The same plan is true for everywhere across the Middle East and worldwide, as these people wish to subjugate and rule over all of humanity as the arbiters of life and death. That is the plan. Greater Israel is the plan. They believe that they were chosen by God to rule over all of humanity, to decide what you're allowed to think, what you're allowed to say, what actions you're allowed to take, whether or not you are allowed to live. And that was evidenced again by this March 27th attack, when a ceasefire was once again broken. In its 80 years of existence, Israel has broken ceasefires over 1,000 times. This one, the most recent one, negotiated by Trump in January of 2025. And they blew up 414 Palestinian civilians, men, women, and 174 of them. Nearly 200 children were killed. And when the Palestinians learned of this, they sent the Red Crescent humanitarian aid workers and medics to go and try to render aid to anybody who maybe survived the original attack, who was trapped underneath the rubble and the bent steel, and to collect the dismembered bodies of those that they had lost, their family members, their loved ones, their acquaintances, their friends, their neighbors, and to return their dismembered bodies to their family members. And the IDF laid in wait for that convoy of clearly marked ambulances with their emergency lighting on, and they subjected them from an elevated tactical position to hours of gunfire. Over 900 rounds were fired. This is an independent report that was provided to us by the agency Forensic Architecture with help from Earshot, which is an audio investigation group. Quote, Israeli soldiers ambushed and subjected Palestinian aid workers to continuous assault by gunfire for over 2 hours. The attacks did not happen in a hostile and dangerous combat zone, as was claimed by Israeli spokespersons. At least 910 gunshots were documented across three recordings from the night, and at least 93% of the gunshots fired by the Israeli soldiers were fired directly toward the emergency vehicles and aid workers during the first 5.5 minutes of the attack. There were five shooters at least that were firing simultaneously. Eyewitness testimony suggests that as many as 30 soldiers were present in the area. After they immobilized the convoy, after the clearly identifiable aid workers with the big red crosses on them and medics, after their convoy, after their vehicles were immobilized and incapacitated, these 5 to 30 IDF soldiers advanced on the position, and as straggling survivors tried to flee, they mowed them down, they cut them to pieces, they shot them in the back, and they left them lying there. And then when they got to the vehicles, they opened the doors of these vehicles and methodically and systematically went through these ambulances and humanitarian aid worker vehicles, and at close range, they executed these unarmed medics and aid workers and civilians and volunteers. They executed every single one of them. They laid waste to everything. As I said in today's show open, we can break this down over and over again, but what it boils down to is that this is evil and that these people will only stop when they are stopped. Max Egan is with us now. Max, do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and this is so contrived. We predicted this was going to happen. You know, it's horrendous. And like I said in my talk, and I think you were there when I gave my talk in Acapulco, at Anacapulco, when I said this tribe we're dealing with, they revel in slaughter. Even the Star of Remphan, there is no Star of David. It's the Star of Remphan. It's Star of Moloch. Its symbolism is child sacrifice. That's what they do, these people. And it's horrendous. I mean, but we said they intended to kickstart this war by any means because they need to build their third temple. They really need to destroy Al-Aqsa Mosque. No doubt they will do this and blame an Iranian missile or something like that. But this is the plan. They've been trying to get this going since the 1990s. And Iran is not what people think that it is. People have been given this whole misconception. This is Sharia law and all the women have got to walk around in black hoods and stuff. I've been posting videos all over X for the last 2 weeks showing you what life is actually like in Iran. There are a lot of Western people there. There's a lot of Jews there. There's a lot of Christians there. There's women walking around in tights with their midriff showing and their hair out. There's Muslim women in hijab, sure, because they choose to do that. But nightlife out in Iran is the same as anywhere else, only they don't have alcohol, which is probably a good thing, you know. So it's you know, these are strong people, Persian people. They are not under Sharia law. It's not anything like what we've been told, and there is no excuse for what has just happened. But we've seen the amount of cruelty these people are willing to mete out. I mean, look what they've done to Gaza. There's no excuse for this. No excuse for this. And now they're saying, oh, the Iranians are targeting civilian areas. You know, everything.
Well, and
Israel
it was
accuses-
also said that the Iranian regime was targeting protesters and that the United States, one of the objectives here was to stop the wholesale slaughter of Iranians by their own government.
This is incredible, Stu. This is exactly the same method they used to overthrow Mossadegh in 1954. There used to be a democratic government in Iran in 1954, and then when it came time to renew the oil contract for the British control of Iranian oil, they said, no, hang on, we'd like to keep the oil for ourselves. And so the CIA and Mossad went in there and staged the first successful coup of the CIA. You can go to the CIA website, it's called All the President's Men, or possibly All the Shah's Men, and it explains how they went into Iran. They dropped leaflets everywhere saying that the government wanted to kill them. They started blowing up school buses, blowing up school children, blowing up schools. The favorite target was children, of course. It always is, because that pulls at the heartstrings. And they did all of this to overthrow Mossadegh because he wanted to privatize Iranian oil. This short saw the imposition of the Shah, who is the father of the current guy they're trying to install. He was a brutal dictator who held the place under an iron grip for 25 years. He had a secret police trained by Mossad and CIA. There is a family in Iran who didn't suffer at the hands of these people. And then, of course, he got deposed and overthrown, and the Ayatollah came back, the religious leader, and was able to say, well, look what happens when you move away from Islam. And they were able to install an Iranian government. Around the same time, they deposed King Faisal in Saudi Arabia and installed the Saudi family, who had joined at the hip with Israel. The Saudi family created Wahhabism, a full-on extremist version of Islam, where you saw heads being cut off and hands being cut off and women being stoned to death and all the stuff that they then blamed on Iran. This has all been done in Saudi Arabia, who seems to be our greatest ally. Now, this whole thing has been contrived. This whole concept of Islamic extremism has been cooked up by Israel via the mechanism of Saudi Arabia and the imposition of the Islamic government in Iran, but it isn't a Sharia state. It's a fully open state. You can be any religion you want there. Women can walk around with their hair out. All the stuff you're being told is a lie, and this has all been contrived. And again, at the same time, they bombed all the Muslim countries for the last 80 years and drove all these countries into desolate war zones. Then you've got kids that grew up in a country that are 25, 30 years old. Their country's just been bombed for the last 60 years. They've grown up in this dysfunctional war zone with no concept of what reality is. And then Israeli NGOs come along and say, isn't it terrible what the West has done? We'll push you all into Europe. And then they go in there, they got a chip on both shoulders over what the West's done, and rightly so, but it's all been done at the behest of this whole theater concept that's happened, creates this whole specter of the Muslim invasion, East against West. This tribe has been trying to push the Christians and the Muslims into killing each other for decades, and this is their big moment to try to make it happen.
And they will use events, of course, like weapons of mass destruction, ties to Al-Qaeda, incubator babies like what we did in Iraq. They will use 9/11 as a pretext to spend 20 years teaching the importance of transgenderism to Pashtun tribesmen and looking the other way while warlords rape little boys. But as Max is talking about here, they will also use these AstroTurf manufactured color revolutions. And you were talking about Iran 1953, that was Operation Ajax. But in 1954, and I just pulled this up, we had Guatemala. We had Cuba in 1961, the Dominican Republic in 65, Chile in 1973, the Philippines in 1986, Czechoslovakia in 1989, the Philippines again in 2001, Serbia in 2000, Georgia in 2003, the Ukraine in 2004, that was the first time. Lebanon in 2005, Myanmar 2007, Iran again in 2009, Moldova in 2009, Tunisia in 2010 and into 11, Egypt in 2011, Libya 2011, Yemen 2011, Russia 2011, Ukraine in 2014. This is the one that the CIA affected, that they used the media to make it look like a popular BLM-style uprising, and then they install Zelensky's government. Since then, what has happened? Mass graves in the Donbass. BlackRock has control of all of the mineral deposits as brothers kill brothers from Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine arbitrarily just established and scribbled on a map in 1991 after Vladimir Lenin's color revolution. They did the same thing with Israel just a couple of decades before that on May 14th, 1948. Ukraine in 2014, Hong Kong 2014, Armenia 2018, Belarus in 2020. And so what you're getting at here is this so-called color revolution that we were watching unfold in Iran was instigated, AstroTurf, that it was fake. And there were credible reports from TASS and other news agencies that say that they found Israeli bullets in the people that we were told that the Iranian regime at the hands of the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was responsible for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same playbook over and over again. I mean, we even saw a video I had on one of my shows that showed operatives handing out guns and bringing out Starlink things. And then you had Israel just last week or two weeks ago say, yeah, we had boots on the ground. We had 200 Starlink terminals in there for our operatives in there. Interesting, like Elon gave Starlink terminals to these people to go and stage a revolution in Iran, didn't give them to the people of Gaza when Israel cut off all the stuff in Gaza. You know, the people have gone through so much shit in Gaza. And we've seen what these people are capable of by what they've done in Gaza. I mean, something I've said for many years is that Palestine is the greatest moral dilemma we face in the world today. And if we do not look within our hearts to heal it, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And what you've got to understand is that Israel is a welfare state. It's only been able to do what it's done to Palestine because of the actions and funding of all of our politicians. That's what we need to deal with. And if those politicians are going to allow that to happen in Gaza, what do you think they have in store for you? The release of the Epstein files has just revealed all these people to be pedophiles anyway. All of these people eat children, okay? Get that into your head, folks. They torture, they rape, they eat children. All of these people work for the same people, and they all do the same thing. It's one big club, and you ain't in it, as the saying goes. That's what we're dealing with. And all of this distraction that you're seeing here, this shows you just how many people they're prepared to kill to build their third temple and to distract you and to make you think you need government there to protect you because this terrible war is breaking out and everybody wants to kill you. You know, that list that you just rattled off of all the things that the CIA has done and all the governments the United States has overthrown, it's like the United States and those who control it are addicted to war. They are addicted to killing. They are addicted to murder. And when you look at the little tribe who controls them, you realize that star that they've got on their flag is a star representing child sacrifice. And you look at what their objective is, which is to kill all non-tribal life. Then you know what we're dealing with here. And they literally revel in the amount of torture and abuse. I actually saw a video the other day of a rabbi. It was someone saying, I can't remember the name of one of their famous people, but he was saying, you've got to love this guy. In order to want to destroy Amalek, which is the goal, you've got to love this guy. And the easiest way to love him is to hate what he hates. And he hates Amalek. So this is their very mentality. In order to know how to love, you must first know how to really hate. That is their mentality. It's mind-boggling to really think what we're dealing with.
But China has come out and said that the United States is addicted to war. And,
yeah, but the only remedy is
right.
us. The only remedy is us calling this out for what it is, and we refuse to comply with the dictates of these pedophiles, these pedophores. They come and give you a law. Well, you're the people who eat children, are you? And you're giving me a rule that I must follow, are you? Let's talk about this situation. That's what we got to do, brother.
I've been trying to draw the parallels between the United States and Israel. And something that I have realized, I haven't been at this, of course, nearly as long as you have, but something that I have quickly realized as a pretty quick study, not a lot gets by me, and I'm constantly just a student of the game and I'm learning, but that it's difficult to differentiate between the United States government and the Israeli Knesset. It's difficult to differentiate between the CIA and the Mossad, or between America and Israel, because really these are the same puppeteers. There's no differentiating this because I don't recognize Israel as a legitimate nation state. It's simply a landmass that was purchased by the Rothschilds from the city of London and turned into a physical storage facility for munitions, ground zero for psychological operations and usurious tactics that infect all of the West and subjugate humanity and occupy governments and topple regimes and kill and rape and eat children. And it has become a safe haven for pedophiles. That's all that this really is. This is the front lines of the military-industrial complex. So to help our audience understand, can you kind of explain that relationship?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at where Israel is situated, right smack bang in the middle of the Muslim world, in order to destabilize that whole region and drive them into the West. This is what it's all about. And you've got to understand when you think, okay, Mossad controls this or Mossad controls that. Mossad, CIA, NSA, ASIO Australia, MI6, MI5, this is all one organism, really. And it's all controlled by the same people, and it controls all governments. Like I've said, it's a multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal masquerading.
When you say that it's all controlled by the same people, who are those people specifically?
Well, the tribal people, the pedivores. The thing is that they all do this. It's a people farm, Stu. You're living in a people farm. They play all the people off against each other. But within that, within this circle, this inner circle of what's going on, is this group of Kabbalistic so-called Jews. They're really not. They're kind of more Edomites or whatever they are. I don't know.
Right.
They're psychopaths. But their plan is to destroy all life on this earth. That is their plan. They believe the earth is the embodiment of evil, and they are doing everything they can to destroy all life. And they absolutely enjoy what they're doing. That's what people don't understand. You know, you don't need, even with looking at the Epstein stuff, you don't even really need to look at this as Epstein was blackmailing everybody. No, they don't need blackmailing. They love what they do. They enjoy raping and hurting and doing this to children. There might be some lower level people that they need to get dirt on by getting them on video with underage kids or whatever, you know. But the rest of it, they love what they're doing. And you're living in a people farm. This is harvest time for them. They're loving what they're doing. They want to kill. They love to destroy. They love blood. This is their whole motivation. You know, we keep looking at it as financial gain and this sort of that. Their goal is to kill everybody they can, reduce the population to 500 million, and have them all being good little obedient slaves. That's what they want to do because they enjoy it. You know, it's a war. This little tribe is waging a war against the world, but it's an inner core group within the tribe who doesn't give a shit about the tribe either. They don't care about Israel or Jews or anything like that. Israel is a mechanism that they've used to destabilize the entire world so that they can drive all the nations and all the faiths against each other. That's what it's about.
And intentionally, deceptively named Israel, because there's 2.4 billion Christians on the face of the earth that have been propagandized by the Scofield translation of the Bible that believe that these people are to be blessed or you will not be. And that if you curse these people, that you too will be cursed, that your prayers will be hindered and go unheard, and that you will be cast far away from God and your soul will spend an eternity burning at the lake of fire. And while you say that Israel has been, and I agree with that 100% just based on what I've been able to observe, nobody can discount that. It's on video, it's everywhere. And if you study just a little bit of this, if you spend 5 minutes with some keystrokes, you'll quickly be able to verify everything that Max is saying, where Israel has destabilized the Middle East since its existence, May 14th, 1948. Iran has been the rock of stability in the Middle East. And their military has really kept this whole situation at bay and slowed the progress of the Greater Israel Project single-handedly, haven't they?
Well, yeah, you know, and the problem is, you know, many Christians don't understand what Israel is. That they think Israel is this place. It isn't. Israel is the teachings of the man Israel. You know, if you're a Christian and you believe such things, well, Israel is the teachings of the man Israel. If you are a person who believes that there is one true God and you should follow the law of the God over the law of the state, then you are Israel. And there was no Gentiles in the original Bible. It wasn't Gentiles, it was nations. So you were either a nation or you were an Israelite. If you were an Israelite, you followed the law of God over the law of the state. Even the notion of a state of Israel is a complete contradiction in terms, because Israel, the belief in one true God and following that faith, is totally against anything to be conceived as a state. It's got nothing to do with a block of land in the Middle East. A lot of Christians don't understand this. They think they must support Israel. Hang on, you're supporting this tyrannical pedivore group with a satanic star on its flag, which represents child sacrifice, and you're being told this is the chosen people of God? No, an Israelite were the people who chose God. When they flipped it and they turned Israelite into Jew and nation into Gentile, they ethnicized it and they made you believe that the Jews were God's chosen people rather than the people who chose God, who the Israelites were. And if you have chosen God over the state, you are Israel. That is the point. That's what they're missing.
Militarily speaking, though, isn't Iran really the last roadblock?
Well, yeah, Israel's the last, I mean, Iran's the last roadblock to Israel having complete hegemony in that area and forming greater Israel, because they will never let them do it. I would guarantee as well, with some of the strikes that you've seen, what's been going on, like Iran is hitting military bases. It would not surprise me, and I'll put this out there, for consideration, if while Iran is striking Israeli military bases or American military bases in Dubai and Bahrain, you've got Israeli agents in there with drones flying them into buildings and targeting civilian areas and airports to make it seem like Iran is attacking the Arab world, when it's not. It's simply attacking military bases. There's no strategic value in Iran attacking civilian areas in Arab countries. The only people who can benefit from this is the state of Israel. And Israel is desperate for the Arab world to get behind it and attack Iran. And many of them are puppeteered. Like I said, Mossad, this arms goes out, controls all Western governments, a lot of Middle Eastern governments. They're all controlled by the same people. So much of it is a puppet show. Even, I mean, I've got to wonder about Iran even, because during the last conflict that they had last year, most of the places that were hit in Tel Aviv by Iranian missiles were places who had been rezoned for destruction and rebuilding. So that makes me wonder as well. I'm just kind of wondering where it's going to go from here, whether this is just going to turn into an all-out war, or whether a lot of this is theatre as well. I mean, we've seen how the theatre goes. You were there for what happened in Puerto Vallarta the other day, which was a complete, utter theatrical
I got out
show
just in time.
Well.
Yeah, I got out just before that, and then everybody told me that it was hitting the fan. And so I went into our chat group, and then, of course, I messaged you on WhatsApp, and you sent me back a picture of yourself with your selfie stick and your camera, all smiles, with cars burning behind you, completely unaffected. And I tried to explain to my audience, as they were really worried about you, Max has been in Palestine. Max has been in Gaza. Firebombing and exploding vehicles is nothing new for Max Egan when we're talking about Jewish-controlled territories, which is what Mexico is. I mean, Claudia Sheinbaum, a Jewess, 100% Ashkenazi Sephardic Jew from all four of her grandparents, both maternal and paternal, is now the president of a country that's predominantly Catholic for the first time ever. This shouldn't be a surprise to anyone.
Yeah, exactly. This was all set up. It was theatrics. It was burning buses and burning cars. It was done right across the entire Puerto Vallarta to create lots and lots of black smoke. And there's all these conflicting reports. I'm hearing the church has been burned. I'm hearing the Costco's on fire, all sorts of stuff. No, they just burn all the cars in the Costco car park, in the church car park. So it looked like there was lots of black smoke coming up. And then they got people out there, cameras. Oh, my God, we need Trump to come in and save the day. The cartels have taken over. The whole thing lasted 6 hours. The cops were nowhere to be seen for the whole day. They've been everywhere. all through the conference, like cops everywhere, pulling people over for whatever, trying to scalp them for fines and stuff. That morning, no cops. I was staying right in town, like on one block from a military base. It was all closed up. Nobody came out of the base. And I'm just walking around going, there's nothing really happening here.
That's eerily reminiscent of Gaza, by the way, on October 7th, because didn't it take them hours and hours to respond? Isn't Israel a militarized police state that's heavily surveilled? I mean, it's a surveillance super state. You can't walk 2 blocks, 2 minutes without seeing an IDF installation or a police department or some heavily armed military contingent in Israel. You just can't do that. But yet it went on for hours and hours, and the police were nowhere to be seen. That's eerily reminiscent of what happened in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same play. I mean, this is what they've just done in Iran. It's what they
stand
did in 1953. It's what they did in Gaza on October 7th. I mean, even recently, they came into West Bank on paragliders. Israeli troops came in on paragliders. Exactly. It looked exactly the same as the Hamas people coming in on October 7th. So who was that really? You know, and Hamas, I mean, most of Hamas is run by the higher levels is run by Israel anyway. I mean, they send fertilizer pipes, you know, like just all they are pipes paled with fertilizer, like, you know, plumbing pipes. They send them over the wall. They look like rockets. They don't do any damage. They've got no exploding warheads. They'll kill you if they land on your head. It might put a hole in your roof or smash the window of your car. And, oh my God, we're under rocket attack. We need billions and billions and billions. That's what they do. I mean, the whole thing has been staged. Sure, a lot of kids join the resistance and they join Hamas because they think they're actually fighting against Israel, but they're not. Hamas is a mechanism that Israel sets off every time it needs to go in there and test weapons on live targets. And now it doesn't need that anymore. It's playing its card. It thinks it's going to be able to take over the world and create greater Israel. And it sees itself as unstoppable at the moment. But
which, by the way, is the same for ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Because we saw now that ISIS said, we are going to take the side of Israel in all of this. Well, hold on a second. We have been told for all of these years that ISIS is just this rogue band of radical Islamic terrorists. Why would they have Israel's back in this conflict?
Well, because they always have, because they're created by Israel. Because even you look at al-Baghdadi, his real name is Simon Elliott. He's a Mossad agent. All of the top leaders of ISIS have all been found out to be Mossad operatives. The whole thing's a Mossad operation. Of course it is. Why would you have a group of Islamic extremists, Islamic fundamentalists, going across the Middle East, across the Levant, and destroying all Muslim infrastructure they can find? Look, Palmyra and Aleppo, all those old Muslim temples and stuff, the 10,000-year-old bathhouses in Palmyra, they destroyed the whole lot. Why would Muslims do that? And they never seem to hit Israel. And there's a pipeline going across the Levant. There's a pipeline going right across that supplies Israel with all their oil. They seem to miss this pipeline. Funny that they would do that, you know? Yeah.
Well, so knowing that and knowing that Americans have been propagandized into believing that ISIS is bad and that these are extremist radical Muslim terrorists, Al-Qaeda, same thing, Hamas, same thing, Hezbollah, everybody looks at these boogeymen that the media, which is funded by the likes of BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, all of the funding mechanisms, all of the mechanisms of control are on Rothschild Boulevard and Tel Aviv. These people that call themselves Jews control the media and the information that you get from the smart TV that hangs on your wall, which, by the way, is a worthless paperweight if you don't have subscriptions to these different platforms. And they control everything that's on all of them, with the exception of, I guess, maybe BitChute. And we met Ray. We know that Rumble is incredibly compromised. As a matter of fact, we have videos to suggest that. Howard Lutnick saying that to Chris Pavlovsky. Howard Lutnick holds a huge amount of Rumble shares. This is the guy that stands behind President Trump. I call him Trump's little Jew man in the corner. Was next door neighbors to Jeffrey Epstein. Took his kids to Epstein's pedophile island after lying to everyone under oath and saying that he cut off that relationship when he found out that he was a convicted sex pedophile. No, he after that took his kids to Epstein's pedophile island. This guy is a best friend, just like Donald Trump, to Howard Lutnick. Howard Lutnick has all kinds of Rumble stock. And in the SEC filings, you'll see BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Dan Bongino, who's cheering on this war and protecting pedophiles, as he said that he was most passionate about protecting Israel, before taking a deputy director job in the FBI. The entire bureaucracy, multifaceted, what Charlie Kirk was trying to say before they executed him in broad daylight in front of 3,000 people in live attendance and billions on live stream that have since seen that assassination take place in broad daylight, was trying to warn everybody, was on the verge of, quote, going ballistic on Donald Trump over Epstein and these wars. He opposed confrontation with Iran. Trump shouted him down. We have reports that Tucker Carlson, which, by the way, I got to tip my hat to Tucker again and his interview with Huckabee, because now since then he's doubled down on this Iran stuff and tried himself, knowing what happened to Charlie, that he was shouted down and then ultimately taken down. He still took it upon himself to go to the White House and have a conversation with Trump, expressing his opposition to this war. But Trump is just so captured. If you were going to try to think of somebody who is absolutely captured and that some entity has this guy by the balls, Donald Trump would be it. The Rothschilds, billions of dollars, bailing him out of bankruptcies. The Usurious tribe holds all of the loans on all of Trump's properties. If they were to increase his rate by just a quarter of a basis point, they could bankrupt Trump all over again. He married his daughter off to Jared Kushner. He converted allegedly to Judaism himself. He's deeply tied into Chabad Lubavitch. If you don't know who they are, these are the tunnel Jews, folks. These are the people that were crawling out of the sewers in New York with bloodstained mattresses. Whatever happened to that story? Where are these people? They have their own police force in Florida. Ron DeSantis went to Israel to sign anti-free speech legislation right in front of Benjamin Netanyahu and now has a task force in Florida that has arrest authority to monitor everything that you do and say online, and they can come out and arrest you if you are critical of this. Can anything stop this, Max?
Oh, you're just being anti-Semitic, Stu. What's wrong with any of that?
It's just I'll be targeted for drone strikes, according to the words of the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who called this eighth dimensional warfare and said that the battlefield is changing, that the weapons of war are changing, and that they would consider drone strikes against Americans on U.S. soil who are critical of Israel.
I know, it's unreal. And all this is out there, and all the stuff we've just learned, and they eat children as well, you know, and people just, it just goes in one, because they go on TV and they say, oh yes, well, they wear a suit and there's all this neuro-linguistic programming in the way they speak, and people just, they see it and they just go back into this trance state. That's what the television does. It's what all the flicker rate's all about. There's so much going on in our societies. There's so much mind control from so many angles. And people have the attention span of a goldfish. I mean, you can tell them all this stuff. And you tell them the whole, this is all, everything that you just rattled off, you can just drum it into them and say, yes, and they eat children. And they will still call up their local police or their local politician and say, you need to fix this problem. And then they'll still go vote for the other side of the boot next week. It's ridiculous. It's incredible. So, I mean, like you say, I mean, how do you stop this? I've been screaming from the rooftops for 25 years about it. I've been actually screaming from the rooftops since I was at school, you know, or warning people about this. But for the last 20 years, like since 9/11, I've been literally screaming from the rooftops for people to wake up. And here we are, you know, so it gets to a point. I mean, I think that the whole system just has to collapse. I mean, this is the big explosion.
But how? I mean, it's not going to collapse on its own. It's going to need help collapsing. Somebody's going to have to arrange that.
Well, I think it's just going to collapse under its own steam. I almost think that it's going to get to a point where, you know, human consciousness will just have no choice but to shut it all down. I think that we will rise above it. I mean, you see all these Gen X kids and these Gen Z kids are just standing up saying, you know, the education system's not teaching me anything. All of, they can see through it all, which is why they are just pushing.
The reason they took out Charlie Kirk, nobody was doing what he was doing, standing in front of millions of college-age Zoomers, the future of our political system in this country, the future of our workforce in this country. If you were to sit down with somebody from our audience who says, well, hold on a second. I mean, obviously, the United States would never just go to war, you know, with diabolical intentions. If you were to sit down with somebody who is still subjecting themselves to the programming of the TV or to some guy from the White House, same, I guess it would be akin to being programmed to the recommendations of, subservient to the recommendations of the guy in the white lab coat with the stethoscope. Well, that's a doctor. He would never hurt my kid. Line up for their 76 injections today, 6 million by the time they're 18 years old, and they will just shove them full of weapons of biowarfare. What is the talking point that you use? And I think this could be useful for a lot of members of our audience. What is the talking point that you use to open people's eyes to this, to make them see very vividly? Because for me, I don't know if I was just completely comatose. I don't know if these people were always this bad at lying or this obvious that what they're saying is completely untrue. But now they just don't even care about trying to make it believable. Before there was a pretext, there was 9/11, there was weapons of mass destruction, they had some big lie. Now there's not. Now there wasn't some big event where you were just bombing schools and killing hundreds of Iranian children. That's the American military doing that. And there are people that are still supporting this. What would be the talking point that you would say to try to shake them and get that conversation started where they just won't be able to unsee what they see?
Well, like I said, Stu, it's almost beyond those talking points. I mean, I've been doing this, I've been out here on the front line doing these radio shows since 2008. I first started doing the radio shows. Before that, like since 9/11, I've been really speaking out on the front line. And I tried all sorts of spiritual concepts. I tried, you know, encouraging people to ask questions and just question their reality, question why things are the way they are, question why so many laws exist when every time you create a new law, you create a new crime, all of that sort of stuff. And I've found it's very difficult to tell people what is going on. What you have to do is encourage them to ask questions so that they will realize what's going on themselves. And I've honestly found the best approach is to be the best person that I possibly can, to be a pleasure to be around, to be positive in the face of diversity. As I've often said, to face infinity without flinching, which is the knack of being able to face with serenity odds and circumstances that are not included in your calculations and to simply go with that path. When you're in that state of flow, when bad things happen, like the war in Iran or the financial crash or whatever happens, and you just kind of take it in your stride and you're happy and you're a positive force for them to be around, then they want to emulate that. They want to know, how come you're so relaxed through it? It's like when I was out walking through all the shit that was going on in Puerto Vallarta, people are going, how are you so calm with all these things going off around you and burning vehicles? I'm going, because I'm just facing infinity without flinching. I know that I'm going to be okay because I know inside me that I'm okay. It's fine, you know? So I just do what needs to be done, and I'm quite positive in the face of diversity. Half of the reason I did that was to show the people that were still there from the conference that there's really nothing to fear. There's nothing really going on here. Sure, there's a few gunshots, there's a bit of this and there's a bit of that, but you're not in any danger. This is all being staged. You know, if you can promote that type of personality in yourself, then people want to emulate that and they want to know, how are you so calm? Well, I'm calm because I know how the world works. And then you can start explaining things to them. Man, I've even gone to a football match with my neighbors. I hate football, but I go to a match with my neighbors because I know he loves football. And if I go there,
do you stand up for the national sing along and everything? Put your hand over your heart, remove your hat.
No, I don't do any of that shit, but I'll go watch the game with him. Even if I do it at his place and on the TV or whatever, I'll watch the game with him because then I can become his friend and then he will have a conversation with me. Then he's going to be open to more ideas that I can share with him. You know,
eating the goy slop, taking down a cheeseburger, some seed oil, some French fries, guzzling a couple of beers.
But you know what I'm saying? You've got to befriend people. I've got this saying that I use every show, in Lakesh, I am another yourself. Every single person, I view every single person in creation as simply being a thought in the mind of God. Imagine if God split his consciousness into 8 billion pieces just so we could express to each other. You know, find out how we became God or whatever God's plan is, you know what I mean? What if we're all just a thought in the mind of God? We're a reflection of each other. Anything I do to you, I'm doing to myself. You think about that. If it's all a single consciousness in this big electrical field that we call creation, where everything is energy, what is heaven? What is hell? If you are horrible and mean to people, and then you go to that and you reconnect to God and reconnect to Source at the end, and you feel everything you did to everybody, that is hell. But if you've been an incredible person to be around and you've made reality better by your existence, when you return to Source and you feel that, that is heaven. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I kind of look at it. So that's the way I approach it. And I've had an enormous amount of success just being the best person that I can be. I've woken up thousands, probably millions of people by doing my radio shows and the stuff I've done just by being honest, admitting when I make mistakes and just trying to help things with no thought of personal gain for myself. I just do it because it needs to be done. I think that's what inspires people. And like I said, ultimately, you're on your own path. You know, if you can inspire one person to change their path and find a better way, then you've succeeded in your life. If you brought healthy children into the world and you've given them a good heart sense, you've succeeded in your life. That's what it's about. We're getting to the point now where this is the big test. this whole thing has been a soul test to see how much of your soul you're prepared to give away. Of course, we can't ignore what's going on. We've got to speak out about it. But that's what the test is, you know. So I think we're getting
Eli, my middle child, my 11-year-old son. I'm looking forward to him sitting down with Grandpa Max. We got to make that happen. We got to arrange that because he is just so in tune to everything that is going on here at 11 years old. I've told some stories off the record about the trouble that he's gotten himself into at school for pushing back and questioning and challenging the official narrative, particularly as it relates to the Holocaust and Auschwitz, the so-called death camp, where he brought up the 1992 Chicago Tribune article that he has heard me talk about, which points out that there's a discrepancy here and that the millions of deaths that we were told happened and that were inflicted by Nazis at Auschwitz, in fact, did not happen, that it was 276,000, and that most of them died from typhus. And there's a Chicago Tribune article from 1992 that is titled Fixing the Numbers at Auschwitz. The overarching 6 million number, by the way, has never been adjusted to reflect the Auschwitz revelations. And so when Eli brought that to the attention of his teacher, he was subjected to confinement in the principal's office, where I quickly made my presence known and then took Eli out for ice cream afterwards. And by the way, the Holocaust indoctrination and the Auschwitz teachings, they stopped. They ceased immediately. And they don't do that anymore. That is a victory at the granular level. That's not giving up ground and for the purpose of fleeing the programming and indoctrination, saying I'm going to homeschool. If you homeschool for other or for a variety of different reasons, hey, great, do that. I totally encourage that. But if you're doing it only to flee, I feel that as white flag waving and giving up ground. So that's anyway my personal choice. That's the way that I handled it. And it has been very effective. So I can't wait for that. I got to get out of here, Max Egan. Thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate you being here.
Always a pleasure, Stu. You take care, brother.
I'm really looking forward to that meeting, too, by the way. I cannot wait till Eli meets Max, till Nolan and Reagan do as well, my whole family. I just really enjoy spending time with Max Egan. Every time I get the opportunity to do it, I selfishly take up as much time as I can, or as he will allow. The difference between Max Egan and some of these other talking heads, it's really easy to talk words. It's really easy to say, this is what you should do. It's something completely different to actually live by those words, isn't it? And that's what Max is doing when he's talking about being a pleasure and a joy to be around and being a source of wisdom and being a source of calm in a world that's otherwise just intentionally, by the way, filled with chaos. Everywhere you look, they have us fighting horizontally so that we will never bother to look vertically. They want a civil war. They would love that. It gives them the justification, the pretext that they need to fully launch the AI super surveillance state driven by Axonius and driven by Unit 8200 and driven by Palantir and Peter Thiel, to lock everyone down, and then just like Governor Ron DeSantis, to have a task force that will sweep the nation and take you into custody to physically imprison you, digitally imprison you, virtually imprison you, enslave you, or ultimately just slate you for execution. So we thank Max Egan for being here. There's a difference between people talking heads on these podcasts or on your boob tube, on the corporate media, mainstream outlets, the major broadcast and cable news networks. It's really easy to say words. It is something completely different to live by them. So a bank of wisdom. If you have the opportunity to follow Max Egan anywhere where he is on social media, I would say that you should do that. And also get to know him. Go back and listen to all of the things that he has had to say. Rewind the tapes. This will give you a lot of the factual, you know, substance that you need when you're fielding questions. If you encourage people to ask questions and then they start asking them, you should probably have some of the answers. Or if not, someplace to direct them to. And Max Egan is one of those sources. All right. Packed show for you today. Max Egan is on deck. He's actually in the green room now. We're going to get to J.D. Sharp and then the Based Report with Frankie Stocks. All of that is straight ahead. But first, I want to share a message that I received from one of our viewers, because stories like this one are what keep me constantly telling you about the Tesla machine. One of our viewers wrote in about helping her friend who had been dealing with something called cubital tunnel syndrome. So for months, her elbow felt like she had constantly smashed her funny bone. She had pain shooting through her arm. Her fingers were numb. She couldn't bend her arm properly. She couldn't bear weight on it. It was even affecting her ability to flex her wrist. So they decided to try a session using the Tesla with the new plasma bulbs. And within about 15 minutes, she started feeling something that she hadn't felt in months. In 15 minutes, her fingers started to wake up again. She could move her wrist The numbness began easing. They followed up the next day, and she said that her arm felt dramatically better, just a little bit sore, like after a good workout. So they did one more 15-minute session, and this is the wild part. After the second session, she said that her arm felt completely back to normal again. No numbness, no pain, totally normal. She could even do push-ups, something that she couldn't even imagine doing just two nights earlier. And as she was leaving, she flipped on her jacket, and then she stopped. She was like, oh my God, I haven't been able to do that in months. Two sessions, 15 minutes each. Now, listen, this is one viewer's story. We hear stories like this all the time from people exploring new ways to support their health, support their family, and recovery. If you want to learn more about the Tesla machine, tzla.club. Max Egan is in the green room. We'll talk Iran war. But first, actually, you have a story, Max, about your nephew using the Tesla machine.
Yeah, well, like when I was in Australia, I took the Tesla machine with me when I was in Australia, and Nathan, my nephew, came around to use it. He had severe back pain, so I put him on the machine for about maybe 15 minutes, and his back pain went away. He was pretty amazed, and my sister thought it would be good to get him one, so she bought him one, and he's been using it for a couple of months now, and he's found that all his hay fever's cleared up as well, so that's another thing. But I've been getting a lot of people, like when I was in Australia, a lot of people emailed me, said, can we please come use the machine? And I announced on a show recently that, hey, my nephew's got a machine in Australia, so if you have any problems, I can put you in contact with him. You can go around and try it. So this guy went around. His son, five-year-old son, had actually fallen over onto a stick, and the stick had been stuck in his eye, and he had to go to hospital and have it surgically removed. And then the guy contacted Nathan like before. Like as soon as it happened, he went to contact Nathan, said, we're going to have the stick pulled out. Can I come and see you afterwards? And he did. And Nathan treated him for 10 minutes on the Tesla machine. And basically the eye, at the end of the treatment, the eye had started to open. And then he came back the next day and gave him a second 10-minute treatment. And then on the third day, the eye was virtually fully open and minimal bruising. The father of the child was so amazed at the recovery, and so was Nathan, actually, that he actually emailed me and sent me pictures of his child and said, this is amazing healing, and he's going to be buying a machine. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm always skeptical of all this sort of technology.
So am I. I looked at Jeff like he was crazy. When I was at his villa last year in Acapulco at his house, you were there, and I was there with my friend. I looked at him like, what? You're going to put these light bulbs on me? Now, apparently there's no electricity that runs through these leads. What I've been told is that it's 100% plasma, which is why it's safe to put it in the bathtub. I haven't done that. I don't know that I will do that. I wouldn't recommend anybody does that. You probably have to talk to the people at the club. I don't know. I don't want any liability as far as that is concerned, but Jeff does it all the time. And yeah, he says it's absolutely wonderful.
I've done it as well. And like for what people say about Jeff, I mean, I've come to know Jeff pretty well over the last 4 years that I've been in Mexico. And people say, you know, the Tesla's a scam and all that sort of stuff. You know, well, I'll tell you right now that having observed Jeff, he 100% believes in the power of this Tesla machine. He's got one for his family. He uses it himself every single day. He gets his wife on it. He gets his mother-in-law on it. He 100% believes in the power of this machine. So he's not scamming anybody at all. Jeff gets a bad rap, and I don't think he deserves it. I've seen him do a lot of incredibly good stuff and a lot of charitable work for people. And like I said, I mean, I'm skeptical of all this stuff, but then I had a lady come around with myocarditis, and suddenly, you know, two weeks. She stayed on the machine for 2 weeks. And she was lethargic. She was like sleeping 22 hours a day, getting up and just sort of mumbling around and going back to bed. And she'd always been a little lethargic in her life previous to that, her mother said. She came around 2 weeks on the Tesla machine, using it every day, went back for a test, no myocarditis anymore. And now she's bouncing off the walls. She's traveling around the world. She's really active, amazing stuff. So I've seen it heal that. I've seen it heal Bell's palsy in 7 treatments. I've seen it heal severe muscle trauma in a friend of mine's leg, who went surfing, had a surfboard come down. The fin of the board actually hit his calf muscle, and he left that surf in an ambulance and was on crutches. They told him he'd be on crutches for at least a month. I went around to see him the next day, put him on the machine. The next day he was walking. He actually walked to my house to use the machine again, and that afternoon he was back in the surf.
Yeah, we told that story, actually. That was one of the testimonials at Tesla.club. I didn't know that you were related to that one. Are you becoming less of a skeptic now after seeing all of this stuff personally?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't help it, you know. But hey, I've seen remarkable results. I've noticed my arthritis is a lot better, and I got a lot more energy and stuff. My lungs seem to have cleared up. You know, I smoked for a long time, so I had a lot of, you know, lung issues. So yeah, I am seeing results from it. So, but hey, you know, I'm not the sort of person. I've never even monetized my account, so I just don't sell things. I find it very uncomfortable. Even when I did artwork, I gave it all away for free. I find it very uncomfortable to do commerce. I'm just that sort of a person. But hey, I've had some pretty amazing results with this thing and this eye treatment. I mean, for the guy's father to actually write me and say, "Hey, look at my son." I mean, this happened in 2 10-minute treatments, and he was absolutely mind blown. So, and you've probably got the photos there. You can probably show them. So
yeah, we have been showing them here. I mean, this is an unbelievable. It's an unbelievable before and after picture, and you can't deny that. I mean, you have photographic evidence that this healing is taking place, and then first person, you have seen myocarditis just completely disappear. Bell's palsy went away. I mean, these are things that people thought that they probably would have to live with their entire lives with.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's worth checking out, I think.
Well, you can do that. Thank you, by the way, Max, for coming back and telling that story. The world is about to blow up. What do you think? What are your predictions? Are we going to see boots on the ground in Iran?
Look, this has been long, long contrived. And, you know, Trump, unfortunately, is a bit gullible. He probably thought that, you know, he's going to do what his Israeli masters want. He's going to go and have a quick strike. And then, you know, naturally, they're going to kill the leader. They're going to do all this massive amount of damage. And Iran's just going to roll over and say, "Please stop bombing us." Well, Iran's been preparing for this war for the last 48 years. They have not used even any of their good weapons yet. And they're prepared to drag this out for as long as it takes until they deplete the U.S. defense. Because the United States has got weapons all over the place. It can't, it just, it's interceptor missiles. Like every time the Iranians send a drone, the United States has got to launch interceptor missiles. It can't keep doing this. They've got enough small missiles and drones they can send in there to just deplete all the interceptor missiles, and then they can do what they want. And the worst possible scenario for this would be for that to happen and for Iran to actually start launching missiles at American cities. But this is, of course, what Israel wants. This is what Israel has wanted all along. Israel has been trying to get the East and the West to kill each other off for the state of Israel so that they can rule the world. They've been planning this for over 100 years.
Yeah, but Iran doesn't even have an intercontinental ballistic missile that can reach the United States or American cities. So that part I'm not worried about. What I am concerned about is that once they deplete all of those Israeli-American missile and air defense systems, that they will just completely annihilate or get to the brink of annihilating Israel, which would be just a blessing. Don't joy bait me. But the problem is then Benjamin Netanyahu, just as he dragged Trump into this war to begin with, as admitted by Marco Rubio, may drag him into nuking Iran. You know, either the United States or Israel would just notify Trump that they are themselves, because we know they have a nuclear program, going to nuke Iran, and then you have the involvement of China and Russia.
Yeah, like call me skeptical, call me a conspiracy theorist, call me out there, but I really question whether we will ever see the use of nuclear weapons anywhere, yeah, or even whether we saw nuclear weapons being used in World War II.
I'm right there with you, brother. Because believe me, I haven't seen any evidence that nukes even exist, actually.
Exactly. Nuclear weapons, the world's run on business, and it's run on people trafficking, and nuclear weapons would destroy all of that. And the world is run on business. Nuclear weapons would stop all business. Nuclear weapons serve no purpose. However, the threat of nuclear weapons is a very, very useful tool. I don't think that it's actually an option. I don't think that's what we're going to see. But what Israel wants is for, I mean, if it gets really bad and China and Russia and others get involved, if they see how depleted the United States actually is and Western defenses actually are, they might all decide it's time to get involved. Because even the Iranians now are referring to the American government as the American pedophiles. Okay? This is the way everybody sees the American government. It's a government of pedophiles. Israel, America, England, the Western world is like Sodom and Gomorrah to them. And as far as they're concerned, it needs to go down. And they might see this as their opportunity. And that could easily happen from this. And the problem is that that is exactly what Israel wants. They want the East and the West to destroy each other. Their whole goal is to kill as many people as possible. That's what all this is about.
Do you think that there is a military solution? Is there anything that Iran could do right now Or is there anything that the Trump administration could do? Is there anything that anybody could do militarily to end this right now?
Arrest the tribe worldwide. Arrest them all. Wipe Israel off the map and arrest all the tribe members in government in the United States and all the tribal influence all over Western governments. But is that going to happen? And even if you do that, who's going to prosecute them? Because they're all part of the club. Like I said in my report yesterday, it's got to the point now that anybody involved in government or in the legal organizations anywhere around the world, there's two options for them. If they haven't spoken out about what has been revealed by the Epstein files and what these people actually do, you know, all of our leaders, okay, let this sink into your head. They all torture, rape, and eat children, okay? That's what they do. So anybody in that club who hasn't spoken about this and isn't trying to address this, they either are part of that club, they torture, rape, and eat children, or they are people who protect people who torture, rape, and eat children. That's the situation that we're in today. And they're doing everything they can. They're prepared to wipe out entire countries to prevent the world from discussing this and talking about this. That's what we're facing. And that needs to be the common ground of all of this sort of stuff. And so really the solution is us. It's always been us. This is our time, and we need to identify that this is what's going on and not participate in their wars. We need to get rid of the tribe. We absolutely need to get rid of the tribe. I mean, what can I say? There's a very, very evil group of people, and this is what they do. This is what their main pastime is. You're living in a people farm. They're harvesting humanity, and they enjoy killing. They enjoy destruction. And even when you look at the whole thing, you know, the covert war against Amalek, we both saw that video that was put out by Harrison S. Smith recently, the brilliant 14-minute video, outlined the whole plot. America is the new Rome, and we're working secretly this time, but we will win. By way of deception, we shall do war. They want this. That's why they went and attacked a school. They attacked those two schools and killed all those children straight up because they want a really angry, prolonged response from Iran. They want Iran to wear America down and wear the West down so they can just have a mass killing operation. That's what they want, and that's what we're in danger of having happen unless we actually get this into the minds of people and realize that we're the ones holding the war machine up, you know. The old saying, you know, what if they threw a war and no one came? It's about time we did that.
Yeah, what about the service members that are actively deployed now?
Go home. Say no.
Say it's hard to do. I mean, they're on floating prisons out in the middle of the ocean. It's kind of hard to leave.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Mutiny. Take over the ship. Turn it around. Go home. Protect your families.
It's exactly
just say
right.
No. It's ridiculous. Say no. You're working for what? Are you going to go and fight a war for these people who we've just established torture, rape, and eat children? This is who you're going to fight. I call this war the free world, Iran and the free world against the Epstein bloc.
Yeah, the yellow ribbon support our troops shit. I just can't do that this time around. I'm sorry. I cannot participate in that. And, you know, the response that Vietnam veterans got when they returned from their deployment, when these people come back, I mean,
yeah,
they just use precision guided missiles to blow up 200 kids. I don't care who you are.
Yeah,
that's some next level stuff. And then why? To protect cannibalistic pedophiles?
This is what I'm saying, Stu. You got to get this into the minds of the military. Where do your loyalties lie? Sure, you want to protect the nation, but what is the nation? What is the nation? Is it America, or are you just working for these child-killing pedophiles, these pedophiles, these baby eaters, these criminals, and going out and killing people that you've never met before because the baby eaters said it was a good idea? Because if you don't go and kill the other people that you've never met, then the baby eaters might get exposed for what they do. We've really got to start drawing the line here, Stu. This is our time if we can do this. And hopefully humanity will rise to the occasion, brother.
I think the film Occupied has aged pretty well now, hasn't it? It has passed the test of time.
I think so. I think so. It really has. And America is occupied, man. But that's how to solve it. Sanction Israel, put a wall around it, whatever you're going to do. I mean, I don't want to suggest we just kill all these people, but, put a wall around it the way they did with Gaza, get all of the dual citizens out of all governments around the world, arrest those people that were crawling out of the drain pipes in Brooklyn, for God's sake, those Hobart Luvichik people down there with all their child molesting tunnels and shit. I mean, how much of this are people prepared to take before they just,
These are the people that Trump
about?
Is closest to because, Howard Lutnick is Shabbat. And, this is the guy that stands behind Trump. I call him his little Jew man in the corner. This is the guy that stands behind Trump, and he's belly chuckling every time the Epstein files get brought up, every time we talk about sending young American blood to go be spilt in this war with Iran for Israel that Americans want. I don't know of anybody that wants this war. I've never met anybody that wants this war. I've never met anybody cheering it on. I've been in the streets. I've talked to family members. I've talked to random people. Nobody that I have ever spoken to is in favor of this war. Americans diametrically oppose what our government is doing right now in our name.
It's incredible.
They're Trump, pushing it through anyways. And then they have changed their story about the pretext for this war 6 million times in the last 5 days.
Yeah, 6 million, exactly. And, did you see, when Rubio went out there and said, Iran kind of forced us into doing it because we knew they were going to strike and we would have got stricken, Iran would have hit us back, so we had to hit them first. And then Trump, virtually the same day, said, oh, no, I'm the one who forced Iran's hand. And then Rubio says exactly the opposite the next day of what he said the day before. I mean, it's just freaking unreal. They can't even get their stories straight. It's just, it's incredible, man. It's like Idiocracy at this point. But Iran is really in for the long haul. This is an existential war for them, and they've been preparing for this for 48 years. And their goal is to weaken the United States and get as many other people involved as possible. And it could go very, very bad for the United States.
I got to get out of here, Max. Where can people find your show?
You can find me at thecrowhouse.com. That's my website. You'll also find me on BitChute, and you need to go and check out BitChute, folks. It's the only free speech platform we actually have, and we need to support BitChute because it's being hit from all directions, needs funding, needs subscriptions. So go and sign up.
Are you The Crow House on BitChute?
The Crow House on BitChute, The Crow House on YouTube, The Crow House on Rumble, The Crow House on Odyssey, and also Max Egan on Gab. Max the Crow House on X, and banned from pretty well everywhere else.
It's a lot of places, though. If you want to find Max Egan, and you should, he just gave all the places. Thanks a lot, Max. Appreciate you coming back to talk about that eye injury. And it's just more amazing stuff from Tesla. If you want more information on that, Tesla.club, TZLA.club. If you haven't seen Occupied, Max is in Occupied. You can find that at spnstore.com. We hope that you will use that as a method to support the network and to introduce your family who may now be a little bit more willing to listen than they previously might have been. All right, we have JD Sharp in the green room. He's coming up next to talk more Iran war, and then the BASED report after that. 2 minutes. We'll be right back. Stick around.